Task 3. You will hear several people talking. For each extract, choose the heading that best matches the information you have heard. Then write the letter in the corresponding white box. There are two headings you will not need. You will hear the extracts just once. Extract 0 is an example. Now read the headings. Extract 0.
The reason I love this one, you know, those of you who follow my work for a long time, you know I write about purpose a lot. People always have this misguided assumption that purpose is something you just find. Like, it's like you just wake up one day and you're like, oh, I'm supposed to be a piccolo player in the local orchestra. And it's like, boom, lightning struck, you found your purpose, everything's solved forever. What Newport shows very convincingly is that it actually is the other way around. You don't find what you're passionate about and then become great at it. What happens is you get great at something and then you become passionate.
Extract number 1.
Blank Slate by Steven Pinker. It actually came out in the 90s, but it's probably more relevant today than ever before. The blank slate is basically this philosophical idea that comes from John Locke. And it's this idea that the human mind is born a blank slate, a clean sheet of paper, and that anything good or bad that arises in our personality or who we are is due to our influences in our environment or in the culture. Now, this line of thought has been extremely popular for centuries, and it's taken various forms. Back in the 1600s, you know, it was part of Locke's humanism and empiricism. More recently, in the 20th century, it was part of Marxism.
Extract number 2.
I think it's an absolute masterpiece, and I've definitely changed my opinion on that work. I really love when that happens. I really find it useful to mark what works you don't like, and it's about taste, because it is objectively a masterpiece, and it's objectively an important work of literature. So the fact that I didn't like it when I was young means my tastes hadn't matured, I hadn't lived enough. But when you live a little bit, you bring that experience to the work, and then you have that experience of saying to yourself, how did I not like this? Because this is wonderful. I love Pride and Prejudice. I'm so glad it's so high up. It deserves to be.
Extract number 3.
The Denial of Death by Ernest Becker. This book is absolutely incredible. Becker's argument is really, really simple, but quite profound. And it's basically that most of our motivations in life, most of the things that we find purpose in, It's because we're terrified of dying. In fact, we want to deny or avoid the reality of our own mortality. And the way we do that is by undertaking massive projects. Projects that will outlive us, whether that's writing a book, whether it's raising children, whether it's putting our names on buildings or creating a project that's going to change the world.
Extract number 4.
Read the story aloud. You can read it by yourself as well, but make it funny or find the humor. Now, why do I say this? I say this because apparently these stories were supposed to be raucously funny. And that sounds a bit bizarre to us today. We have the word Kafkaesque now, don't we? We read those stories and they're very surreal and bizarre. And we also do see something of our own reality in those stories. But are they funny? Well, Kafka and his friends certainly thought so. Kafka would read his stories aloud and he would be in stitches and all of his friends would be in stitches.
Extract number 5.
But basically, this book is about how ultimately we're all animals at heart. We all have very dark base impulses, and a lot of our conscious mind is designed to rationalize away those base impulses. We're all a little bit selfish and impulsive and overly emotional, but we can't really admit that to ourselves. So we develop all these kind of belief systems and mindsets and attitudes that allow us to continue to believe that we are fully rational, altruistic, wonderful beings. This book dissects all of those, that whole network of attitudes and beliefs to kind of point out where we're fooling ourselves.
Extract number 6.
Emerson would tell us that a foolish consistency is the hobgoblin of little minds. That means be inconsistent. We are human. The world is changing rapidly. Heaven knows it changed a lot the last couple of years. But not only is the world around us changing, but we're changing. We experience death, birth, love, loss, and a real infinite variety of different life experiences. We cannot help but change and therefore contradict ourselves. We do not want to always be of the same opinion, because if we are, then we evidently have not grown.
Extract number 7.
This book is based on decades of psychological research into how people are persuaded and influenced to make various decisions, whether that is to help somebody else believe a certain thing, or most importantly, to buy a certain product. And it's actually pretty incredible the amount of triggers that we have in our psychology that make us susceptible to making certain decisions. It's not only is it useful for any sort of marketing profession in terms of understanding how to get people to buy things, but it's also important as a consumer to understand how you're being manipulated by all these marketing messages.
This is the end of Task 3 and the end of the listening test.